We do have problems. Everybody has problems. If anybody tells you they don't have problems, they have a problem with lying. Everybody has problems. And I'm getting together. I really haven't studied like I always used to. Once we moved in here, I got to cleaning, fixing, throwing away, painting, cutting, hammering. But I got back in my office yesterday for the first time since we've been here. I got to use my office. And I cleaned it out, and I got my books together, most of my stuff. And so I sat down and I thought, well, everybody has problems. We have problems. And let's talk about our problems. Now, Wednesday night is people that are more serious about Bible study anyway. And we have problems. All of us do. So I wrote down, what could our problems be? And I'm not going to tell them all of you what the problems are. But I want to tell you this. Tonight, I want to talk about our problem and the answer for anxiety. And the reason I made that one first is not because it starts with A, but because it starts with me. I have anxiety problems. I do. And most of us do. And so I thought, well, I'll just look up some scriptures and read and holler on the answers for our anxieties. That's just four little old points. Won't take long. But we all have them. Did you know it's part of our Adamic nature? We inherited anxiety. Adam and Eve, they had it. That's why they covered themselves and hid from God. They were worried about what God was going to say. They were anxious about God showing up and what He was going to say to them about being naked. I'm sorry, naked. Didn't have any clothes on. And they hid themselves, the Bible says. And they covered themselves because they were anxious. They knew He was coming. So it's in our nature to have anxiety. Don't let anybody tell you they never have it. If they say that, they're either heavily medicated or liars. Amen? Amen. Even drunk people worry. Amen. Amen. Now, it's part of our nature. And you don't know it, but a lot of times when I preach to me first, and then I just share it with you, see. And that way I figure if it helps me, it'll help anybody. And my wife told me one time, she says, you need to be more careful about how you explain things when you're preaching, because you don't always fully explain things when you're preaching on something. And I said, well, the reason is, I figure if dumb as I am, if I know it, everybody ought to know it. She said, but they don't. I said, you mean there's somebody dumber than me? No, she didn't say that. I didn't say that. But she said, no, everybody doesn't know what you know. Now, that was a profound statement. So, when I learn it, it's my job to share it with you, okay? So let's look at very familiar passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Be careful. Now, that doesn't mean not be cautious, but he says be careful for nothing. Don't worry about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's everything. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things, what things? The ones you just named. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He said, you've seen me, seen it in me, now you do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. Now that's what we're looking for. That's what the whole world's looking for. That God, the peace of God, through the God of peace. Now, I don't know about you, but the first thing jumped out to me in here was we must pray. We must pray. You know, when I get anxious, Brother Holroyd, when I don't talk about something, I'll get anxious. When I get something on my mind and I don't ever bring it out, you know, if somebody's done got under my craw or licked the red off my candy, my big brother used to say, who licked the red off your candy, you know. And y'all didn't ever say that? Write that one down, Jeffrey. That's another one. They licked the red off my candy. And or the hair off your possum. But the first thing we'll do, the very first thing we'll do, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, prayer means you talk to God. Supplication, you mean ask God. You're asking him to supply that need. So the first thing I notice is we must pray. But there's more to prayer than just you got to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 tells you a little bit about this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Turn over there. We don't have a big crowd. For there's one God and one mediator, that's the go-between, the advocate, the lawyer, between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, you need a right relationship with God before you can pray. A lot of people pray, and God never hears their prayers. Because they don't have a relationship with him. But that's like you talking to a stranger's father over at Walmart, asking him to buy you something. He has no relationship with you. He's not going to hear your request. But go to your dad and ask him. It's a different story. So you must have a relationship with God in order to pray. Lost people pray. Catholics pray. Hindus pray. Muslims pray. Satan worshipers pray. You've got to have a right relationship with God. And the only way you're going to get that is to go through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Because see, you're not good enough to get to God. He's not going to hear our prayer without somebody to go between us. Because we're like old Isaiah. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. There's so much wrong about us, even in our best saved stage. There's still so much wrong with us that to go in the presence of a holy God, we drop dead. So we need somebody that there is absolutely nothing wrong with to go to him for us. So if we're going to have anxiety, we need to pray, but we can't pray without Jesus Christ. You got to go through him to get a prayer through. So when people say, well, I pray, I say, well, who do you pray to? And they'll say, God. Well, who do you pray through? Muhammad. Confucius. Mary. Who else? St. Paul. St. Luke. St. Aquarius, or whatever those names are. Listen, you better go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. To get a right relationship with God, you've got to know God the Father. But the only way you're going to get to him is through God the Son. Yes. And then Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. I said we must pray. That's the first thing I notice. When I'm anxious, or I'm not being careful, or I am being careful, I'm worried about things, I'm not just living by faith, freely in Christ. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we need to learn how to rely on God. Diligent means working hard at it. Faith is not easy. I don't care what anybody says. People talk about having faith. They don't know what Christian faith is. Lost people say, well, I got the faith. Well, what do you got faith in? I've got faith in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that they've done the work, that I can go boldly to the throne of grace and bring my wants and petitions through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. and the finished work of Christ. I don't need a man to pray for me. I certainly don't need these weirdo women with a shaved head on one side and nose rings and ear rings and eye rings and their lip rings. And boy, you see them in the paper? Saw some the other day talking bad about our president. And I thought, who are you to talk bad? Look at you. Look at you. Who are you to talk bad about anybody? And who do you pray to? Who do you pray through? Now, what we've got to do with our anxiety, we've got to pray, but we've got to pray through the Son, Jesus Christ, and we've got to pray to the one and only God, Most High. There's no two gods or three. There's one God.
Amen.
And we've got to learn how to totally rely on Him. That's called faith. Now, you go to AA or AAA or whatever they call it now. Or some kind of anonymous program or not so anonymous program, and they'll tell you, the first thing they'll tell you, you got to have faith. Am I telling the truth, Big T? First thing they'll tell you, you got to have faith in something. You can call it a chair, you can call it a bug or a beast or a bird, you can call it whatever you don't want to, you got to have some kind of faith. And that's true, man doesn't have faith in anything, he's lost. But if you're going to get your prayers answered and not be anxious for things, you better have the right thing to have faith in. Well, you're just bigoted. No, I'm not. I'm biblical. The other B. Amen. So, if I'm anxious and if I'm worried and if I just don't know how things are going to work out, I need to realize first thing I need to do is pray. I don't need to change anything. I don't need to turn over a new leaf. I don't need to change directions. I need to fall on my face first and pray and then let God tell me if anything needs change. Number two, he says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, how do you get that? Well, number one, you got to go through prayer. But number two, you've got to have a life of peace, not to live in anxiety. You know, a lot of people live in hell on earth. I know it's not burning. I know it's not hot. But it's a terrible life, the life they live. Their whole life is anxiety. They get up one day, go all day long, worried and upset, don't know what's going to happen next or who's going to attack them next or what themselves are going to do next. And all day long, it's one big deal after another, one after another. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a car wreck all day long, man. And they don't have any peace. They don't have any peace. Well, that's because they don't know the Prince of Peace. Now, on our worst day as Christians, in anxiety, worried about things, upset about things, we still have the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, he said, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall do what? Keep your heart. Now, He'll do the work if we'll just pray, seek Him, the right one, go through the right mediator, and then we'll have a life of peace, and then when something does happen, it won't be normal, so we'll automatically go back to praying and back to the Prince of Peace. But some people that live in anxiety all day long, they have no peace. Every day is no peace. But for a believer, for a day not to be peaceful is a hard day.
Yes.
Amen? Now, look at Romans 5:1. Most of you already know these verses. I said we must have a life of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace of God.
Yes.
Peace with God. Now, look, not only do I have peace with God, now I have the peace of God. Through Jesus Christ. Now, if I find myself anxious and upset and worried and all this stuff, if I'll just stop and remember who I am and who's got me, I can calm down. Because, He gave me peace. I'm not worried about what happens to me. One of these days, I'm going to do like my mom. I'm going to lay myself down. I'm just going to gradually slip off into glory. And I'll have the peace of God while I'm doing that. You know, if they take away the morphine from a lot of these people dying nowadays, we'd hear people screaming and hollering in their dying days because they're afraid they're going to a devil's hell. Yes. And they keep them pumped full of that stuff so they don't have to hear it. They gave my mama one dose of morphine the night that she passed away. One dose. One dose. She had the peace of God. She wasn't worried about dying. I'm not worried about dying. I'm not worried about going to heaven. There's a place reserved for me. I've got the peace of God on that. And thank God it's not up to me, or I would have anxiety. Thank God. Hey, thank God it's not me that had to pay that price, or I'd be very anxious. Amen? But I've got the peace of God. I've got a life of peace. Now, because I've got a life of peace, Brother Taylor, it's unusual for us to have anxiety, so it seems a whole lot bigger when we do have it than it used to be when we didn't have peace. Because our whole life was a life of anxiety. Now we have a life of peace, so when anxiety comes, it's a, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because it's been so long since we really were anxious, it just tears us up. I know that's not good English, tears us up. That's somewhere in the Detroit, Michigan dictionary. John 14:27. I said we must pray. We've got to have a right relationship with God. And we've got to have a need to learn to rely on God. And we got to have a life of peace. These people out protesting, carrying signs and all this junk. Now you listen to me. These people, they don't know what peace is.
That's right.
Rioting in the streets, burning stuff and all those things. They have a life of anxiety. They wouldn't know how to act if they had the peace that we have on our worst day.
Right.
John 14:27, most of you already know it. You've heard it read many times. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, peace will stabilize our heart. That's the way it was when that doctor gave me that stinking high blood pressure mess and I was out there moving in buildings and stuff around my heart. I quit that. Amen. But peace stabilizes. It's like a tranquilizer. You know why people drink? Really? Do you know why people drink? Looking for peace. Trying to be tranquilized. Some people say, well, I can't go to sleep unless I drink some. Well, you don't have the peace of God. You don't have peace with God. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. That's His peace. That's not your peace. You didn't work that up, Brother Dan. He gave that to you. It's a gift of God to have the peace that we have. People all over this world, honey, they're looking for our peace that God gave us. And sometimes that's why they're jealous of us. They can't understand how our faith in Jesus Christ can give us that peace that passes all understanding when it appears the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yes.
Ain't you worried about Iran getting nuclear weapons? Not one iota. You're talking about the Iron Dome. We built Israel an Iron Dome. It's rockets that'll go up to shoot rockets before they get down. Ronald Reagan wanted to do it here, but it's going to cost too much money, and the demon crats wouldn't let him. Yeah. By the way, if you go vote, you remember that name, demon crats. Amen. Just look what they stand for. I don't care. Hey, it ain't the same Democratic Party of Andrew Jackson who started the Democratic Party. It ain't the same Democratic Party. It ain't the same Democratic Party that your grandma and grandpa voted for during Eisenhower and the Great Depression. This is not the same party. It's been taken over by communists and socialists and God haters and perverts. Amen. That's good. Preach, they're going to take your 401c thing, 501c. Let them take it. I don't care. Take whatever they want to. But it's the truth. Now, the world looks at us and says, how can you have peace at a time like this? Well, I don't. He put it in me. It's a gift of God. It's not something you can work up or study up or look for or find. It's a gift of God. The peace of God comes from knowing the Prince of Peace. And we've got to have a life of peace. Hey, as believers, we're to be the most peaceful people in the world. Christians going around fussing and fighting and arguing all the time. That's a shame and disgrace on the name of Christ. Christians going around accusing and falsely accusing, trying to hurt people, trying to destroy people because they licked the red off their candy. Amen. They don't have the peace of God. I doubt some of those people are even saved.
Come on, man.
Did you know I can disagree with you and not hate you?
Oh, yeah.
I can disagree with you and go to church with you. As long as you ain't some kind of reprobate trying to pervert everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I can disagree with people. Amen. Now, but I've got the peace of God. Now, while the world's in turmoil, I can hate what's going on in the world, and I can try to do something about it, but I don't have to get wrapped up in it. Same way in these churches. We don't have to get wrapped up. Hey, if they want to go off and be hippies and weirdos and all that stuff, let them go. Let them go. I've got the peace of God. I don't have to make them happy. And they ain't got to make me happy. He makes me happy. Amen. 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 Enough to make a Presbyterian preach. Amen. James chapter 1, real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. People is egging your house right now. James chapter 1, they toilet paper in Edenhofer's house right now. We call it TPing. Is that TPing? They TP in your house. I never did that to nobody's house. I threw an egg or two. I threw an egg or two, yeah. James 1. No, them boys I run around with, they were just too busy having fun. James chapter 1, look at verse 5, 6, and 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And that, what? What? And it shall be given unto you. Y'all stay on my preach. You get ahead of me. You confuse me when you get ahead of me. Wait till the time, okay? That's what you get when you got to preach on the front row. It gets ahead of you. I'm going to put you on the back. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, we've got to have a life of steadfastness. You can't be in and out and up and down and right and wrong and backslidden and right. And some of these people even say saved and lost and saved again. You can't do that. You got to be like a tree planted by the water.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And saying, I shall not be moved. Amen. Anxiety comes, trouble comes, worrying comes. You say, well, I might worry about it, but I know God's going to take care of it. I might lose some sleep tonight, but I believe God. I believe God's going to do something. I don't may not feel it. But I believe it, and I've got the peace of God. He's never let me down before. Amen? And like a house that's built on a rock, not that shifting sand. A lot of people's faith is no good when it comes to anxiety and worry because their house just shifts from one way to the other. Whichever way the wind's blowing, that's the way they're going to worry. Amen?
Amen?
I'm not worried about it. Amen. Now look at Philippians chapter 4, verse our text again. In verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, I'm trying to hurry. Be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, we've got to have an attitude. You know what the attitude is? Thankfulness.
Yes.
Thankfulness. You know what? We'll just be thankful we're here.
Yes.
We'll be thankful we don't get what we deserve. Amen? We'll be thankful we've been counted worthy to be saved and be kept in salvation and to be in the ministry if you got one. You'll thank God that God did that, see. God did that. He made you worthy. You wasn't no good. We'll be thankful for that. We sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I lost the tune, but I got the words. Count your blessings, name them one by... I still don't got them. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And it will surprise you what God's done. Yeah. But what have attitude of thankfulness? I'm thankful.
Yes.
You don't know where I come from. Boy, I'm thankful. Boy, I'm thankful. One of the, I think the, and I hate to classify sin, but I think one of the worst sins is unthankfulness.
Amen.
Yes.
Because unthankfulness will give you a heart of ingratitude.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll be in the store or sometimes at church. And I hear some kid talk to mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa.
I heard you talking to your mama that way. It's the devil.
Yes.
No, it's your wireless.
I think it's you because
he didn't want me to say what I'm fixing to say. I'm going to start over anyway. This ain't even working.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Stand on the line. Turn this one on.
That one on? I only for recording anyway. Sometimes I'll see a kid talk back to their mama, their grandma, their daddy, their paw. Even at church, I'm serious. I want to grab them by both their ears. Just pull them up in my face, say, "You ungrateful, unholy, unthankful little brat. Can I have you for about 3 days? If you ever want to threaten your kids, say, "We're going to send you live with a preacher for about 3 days. They'll come home looking like a Mennonite." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You've got to have you've got to have an attitude of thankfulness because that's what keeps us from being over anxious. If you're thankful for what God has done and is doing and is yet to do, you won't worry about things so much. You'll say, "All things work together for the good of them that love God."
Amen.
You say it's a bad time. Yeah, but I'm not going to worry about it. I may feel bad about it. It may hurt me. But I'm not going to worry. Next week it won't be like this.
Right.
Next month it won't be like this. This is something God's got going on. And I may not understand everything, but I tell you this, I'm just thankful to be at the table.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep.
Yes.
Come on. I remember we were at pastor school, Hammond, Indiana, right outside Chicago. First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. Dr. Jack Hiles. I went out there about 3 or 4 times. I had some guys with me, and they would serve you food in the church. They had a church at the sanctuary up here would sit 7,500, and they had a teen church in the other part of the building, 4,000. They had a children's church in another part of the building, 5,000. They had Sunday school buses, A through H routes. When one was coming, another was leaving, one was coming, another was leaving. They had that Sunday, they had 30,000 people in Sunday school. They don't have rock band, they don't have any drums, they don't have any flashing lights. Jack Hall's an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. They sang choir music and specials out of the hymn book.
Yes.
Wonderful old-fashioned church. And so they put us in these different departments. They said, well, in the teen department, they're selling hot dogs to raise money for the teen department on a mission trip. In the junior department, they're selling hamburgers to raise money to buy this or to buy that. So 7,500 preachers would just split up and go different parts. They had some good food, too. And I'm standing in line. There's about five people in front of me. There's about 50 behind me. Some of my guys with me. This guy comes pushing through. Excuse me. He's got five men with him. Excuse me. Going to the front line. Excuse me. I got to get my men in here. They got to eat. Well, that wasn't the only time it happened. And he didn't have a southern accent, I'm sorry to say. Down here, they teach them better than that. I looked at that old guy in front of me. I said, who does he think he is? I've been standing here for 30 minutes. Who does he think he is? I'm in line. What about you? He said, I'm just happy to be in line. He was thankful just to be in line. He didn't care what nobody else did. He'd sooner or later get up there. When anxieties come and go, we don't have to be controlled by them. You know, we got freedom of choice. Since we've been saved. Now, it used to be the flesh had control. We had no choice. It was all sin. No choice. On your best day, you're still a dirty, rotten sinner. On your best day, you sinned on purpose. Because you made the choices. But then we got saved, so God gives us a choice. We can follow the old man to sin and the new man not sin. So we have choices. I have a choice. I don't have to be anxious about anything if I don't want to. I'm free to choose.
Amen.
Now I know some people, they'd rather worry about something than eat.
Amen.
They just like to worry. You know, it's that one at the prayer meeting. Got that long prayer request. They done named every doctor they have. And they went to see and the appointment times and the medications. And that doctor sent them to another doctor. And that doctor sent them to another doctor. And I've been hurt right here for 25 years. You know, on and on and on and on and on. Well, that made a choice to worry about that. They could have said, I had to go to the doctor today. Y'all prayed me. I just thank God I still got a hip. Amen. I thank God I can still see. Amen. I haven't been walking in a good while because I'm moving in here, but I'm getting back to it. I've already made up my mind next week I'm going to get back to it every morning. My wife goes off to work. I'm not a go-getter. I'm not from West Virginia. You know, in West Virginia, I preached. I met a lot of go-getter men that were go-getters. They would take their wife and work in the morning and in the afternoon, they'd go back and get her. I'm not like that. Y'all figured it out. They didn't work right. But my wife goes to work and I walk. I walk for 30 minutes and I'm going to get back to that. But when I walk, this is what I do. I start out that door and I go down the steps and I start out that driveway and say, thank God I can still walk.
Amen.
Thank God I'm still alive.
Yes.
Thank God I can still see. Thank God I can still hear.
Yes.
Thank God I'm in my right mind. No comment on that. Thank God I still got a family that loves me. Thank God I still got a church that loves me. Thank God I still got a Savior that loves me. Thank God I got a Father in heaven that loves me. Thank God. Thank God I can see that green tree over there now, yellow, orange, whatever they are. Thank God I can hear that dog barking. Thank God. I got a lot to be I got children. Amen. I've got grandchildren. Thank God.
Amen.
You get praying like that, you won't worry so much. You won't be so anxious. And it's a command. It's a command that we're not being. Be careful for nothing.
Right.
Now, of course, Old English is different than ours. But what he means is, don't you worry over this stuff.
Right.
You let God take care of this. And our human nature has some natural tendency to worry. So this way, you know, you've got to pray. You've got to seek that peace. You got to be steadfast, and you got to have an attitude of thankfulness, or you'll worry yourself to death.
Yes.
Next week I'm going to preach on what we hear a lot about called low self-esteem. A lot of people think they have it. Some people need it. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God.